This is CliffCentral.com.
Good morning, everybody. Da, 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 da. It's Thursday, October the 2nd. It is exactly 1 month until Ben's birthday.
Well, November the 2nd, so yeah, 1 month. Spot on, Gareth. Yes. Yeah, wow, what a time to be alive.
Yeah. Huh? Isn't it great?
I'm going to be more than 35.
Oh, wow.
36.
Is that
downhill?
Exciting, scary, anxiety-inducing.
It's
just another number.
I'm actually really fine with this time around. I still feel like I have lots to do in life, and I feel like I've done a fair amount. I don't feel like my life's been a complete and utter waste of time yet.
Well, like, your life does not end at 36. Just throwing it out there.
Ben's doing this oxygen therapy thing, which I'm fascinated by. I mean, I'm mostly fascinated by it because, you know, I have this interest in chemistry. And oxygen is something that we need for combustion and for respiration and all of these things. And obviously, for humans, it's essential for breathing, and we need to have it in our blood so that our cells can get the food that they need and so on. But Ben's going for these sessions where you put on a mask.
Yeah, you get into this little chamber. It really is the highlight of my day right now.
Yeah,
you get into this little chamber and it like decompresses. So essentially what it does is it takes your body to about 4 meters below sea level. And then while this is happening, that in itself has benefits for you. But then on top of that, oxygen just gets thrown in there and you get a little mask on and you just lie there with your thoughts for an hour. It is amazing.
For a whole hour?
Yeah.
You're lying down in this...
in a little chamber.
Okay, it feels...
You sleep? Yeah.
You sleep.
Look, for the first 5 minutes while everything sort of decompresses, your ears pop a little bit and you got to just equalize with that. But I'm going to reach my 36th birthday feeling at least 34.
That's fantastic.
I know this because when people do things that really impress them, they obviously gush with enthusiasm. But I do feel amazing about it. I feel like I'm looking younger. I'm feeling a whole lot better. As you know, this year has not been great for me physically. And I feel like it's a really highlight of my day because it's for an hour where there's no clutter, there's no noise.
How often are you going, body healing. How often are you doing it?
Looking to do 3 times a week now.
3 a week?
Well, you have to do it relatively frequently to get the full benefits. So if you think of it like antibiotics, you can't just have one session and believe you're going to be done. So you keep it up. And all our oxygen is centered around our core in our body. So it doesn't really get to our extremities. So this helps to circulate the oxygen around. And then with that, there's huge healing powers. But all kinds of people do the oxygen therapy. It's a mild hyperbaric chamber. It's not the heavy, heavy stuff.
Yeah.
But so MMA fighters, for instance, I mean, they're getting bluxomed the whole time. They need to recover. And I think 2 or 3 of SA's major fighters go to the same place I do. Like, they are addicted to it. Wow. It is the only way they can function as champions now. But if you've got, if you'd like a broken bone, you've got burns, you've got a cut or whatever, this thing will heal pretty much anything.
But is this the kind of thing that you give up your left testicle for? Because that's how expensive it is.
It's actually more affordable than you'd think, but it all depends on how many times you go. Like, there's various ways. Like, if you would spend money on personal training or physiotherapy, all those kind of things, it's kind of relative to that if you really break it down per session. So if you're going for a massage, you could spend probably even less to go for an hour of oxygen therapy.
I like the sound of this. I really do.
Well, I'm putting a video out about it on my YouTube channel, and you can see exactly what it is. I get in there. The camera's in there with me. And it's one of the coolest things I've done because, like you, Gareth, like you say, you love the science and all that kind of stuff around it. Mm-hmm. It's just, again, finding out what your body functions on, how it can get better, because this is a good time to be alive. In the past, you would just kind of ice a knee and hope for the best. But now you can do these kind of things. Like, it hastens recovery time. It's like, it's just incredible what it can do.
Increased exercise tolerance.
Yep.
Improved sex life.
Oh, yeah.
Safer air travel.
In what way?
It's not uncommon for patients with COPD, that's a respiratory illness, to experience severe hypoxemia when they travel by airplane. Supplemental oxygen during air travel helps patients prevent this and can benefit many, even those who don't normally use oxygen.
Okay.
Like if you're struggling with sleeping, I go to bed instantly at night now.
No, you see, I've never really had a problem. You've sold me on just that one.
I've never really had a big problem with that, but now it's just done.
Beautiful.
I just have a great state of relaxation. I just feel more together.
So you get into this tank. They up the pressure.
Yep.
Then you breathe in all this oxygen for an hour.
Yeah, because if you try to sleep, obviously you're drawing bigger breaths, which is even better for you.
So you sleep. That's fantastic. It's like I can imagine no better way than having an afternoon nap.
This is the best. Exactly. So, but it kind of feels like
that alone is a great reason to do it.
You know, when you're sitting in the back of the plane, it's quite noisy.
And it's right up the road here, this place.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's where the old Avastar used to be in Rivonia.
I am in. I'm coming with you.
Okay. Well, I'm going today. If you saw my Instagram profile yesterday,
I went in there. I saw it.
Throw it around. But yeah,
Doesn't this sound good?
Do what works for you, yes.
Well, see, it'll obviously freak you out because, I mean, butterflies freak you out.
No, there's a lot that just works on my anxiety. Just the mere thought of being closed up in a space for an hour.
Well, look, there is that. So if you do have claustrophobia, then this could be difficult in the beginning. But SA's women's sprint champion, so she's the champion of 100 and 200. She has claustrophobic issues.
Yeah.
And the first time she went, the first 20 minutes were difficult for her. But now she's going every week. So our top athletes are already inside of this thing. Like I said, the fighters who need to recover the most, they swear by this.
Hmm. The other thing that's worked out really well for me in the last 2 weeks is Bitcoin. Jesus.
Nice.
I have to tell you, I mean, I suddenly got interested in it. You know, we got Run on here and he explained some of the fundamentals to me. Well, what I did is I put some money into a wallet, and then you buy Bitcoin, and I didn't even buy one whole Bitcoin because that's like 60 or 70 grand.
Is it 104,000?
Is it that much now? Anyway, when I bought, it could have been around 60. Anyway, I didn't buy one whole one, so I bought a fraction of a Bitcoin. Mm-hmm. And what I've done is every time it's gone over my original investment amount by, say, 1,000 rand, I've withdrawn that money into a normal account.
Oh, wow.
You understand? So I'm taking profits.
Mm-hmm.
This stage, I'm sitting on 6,000 rand profit.
Oh, wow.
I mean, that's incredible, right?
That is incredible.
This is something that the stock market has never done. It's done okay. I mean, I'm not complaining. We've done really well.
Exactly.
Hashtag invest's done really well in the last year, but not by comparison with this. This is phenomenal. This is a really big return, and I'm being very careful about it. So every day or two, I check in, not obsessively, but once or twice, and then I'll see. When I get to a certain threshold, I just pull money out. So obviously, my investment is decreasing, but I'm taking profit.
But don't you want to just leave your investment in there?
Well, I think I'm going to do that from here on in.
Well, I've been reading a whole bunch, and a friend of mine who's very, very cleared up with this kind of stuff, he keeps sending me really good articles around it. So it just kind of breaks it down for you so you can really understand it. And it has been a very interesting month too, Gareth. I've also put some money into a few fractions. Fraction.
You all right there, Sia?
I mean, I'm the wrong side of the decimal places, but at least I'm in the game.
Some of these things don't go so well. I mean, I tried this thing that Ben introduced me to as well the other day, this eToro thing.
Oh, the one where you simulate. It's basically a simulation.
But my virtual portfolio is not doing very well. I'm down $170 on that one. So that's not great.
My virtual portfolio is flying because I shorted the rand.
Oh, right.
So if I was virtual right now, yeah, I'm making money.
All right. Well, these things are fun to do. I reckon that you've got to experiment. All this technology is out there, all this stuff that you can learn from, all the stuff that you can participate in that you might not have been able to do before. Well, get out there and do it.
That's the lesson of the day. Do what works for you.
Right. Absolutely. We'll get to Justice Malala a little bit later on. He is going to be giving us the latest in the burning platform, brought to you by Nando's. That's somewhere around 7 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
We'll also check in with A couple other things that we've got on the menu for this morning. There's so much to talk about. Batabile Dlamini was in Parliament yesterday. We'll talk about her in a second or two. So, plenty of stuff. How about you, Mubs? What's up?
Brain freeze.
Oh, really? It's been so warm, I can't imagine that your brain would be freezing.
No, I'm just a little bit tired.
Are you?
Overworked, but we'll get there. I'm just waiting for the year to wrap
up. Is it possibly the detox that's making me feel this way?
No.
Are we all still detoxing? Everyone's still on the...
I haven't had a drink.
Yeah, no.
You haven't even had a crunch, though.
No, I haven't I haven't eaten anything but brown rice. I put a little bit of tomato and cucumber.
Wow.
With it, and that's it.
That sounds tragic.
This is day four.
Okay, listen to me. I'm not going to bullshit anybody. I've lost 2 kilograms in 4 days.
That's brilliant, Gareth.
That's phenomenal, right?
Yeah.
I've never had results like that from anything else.
I mean, that's good loss, too. That's not because you've, like, just...
I'm not starving myself.
Yeah, you have me partying for like 3 days.
And I don't have craving for food. I'm not hungry all the time like I used to be.
So you don't feel like you're depriving yourself?
Not at all. This rice is very filling. It sorts out your digestive. The real reason I was doing this is not for weight loss, but this is a side benefit that I didn't realize.
Uh-huh.
So I was doing it because it's kind of like a detox. And it won't work for everybody. I'm not a dietitian. I'm not going to preach that this is some way to live your life. But this is really good. So all you do is you have brown rice for breakfast.
Mm-hmm.
I have plain brown rice for breakfast at about 9
That's
o'clock.
That's the tough one, though. That must be the toughest for you.
No. A small portion. Not even a size of your fist.
Which is that we were always brought up to have breakfast of a certain kind.
Yeah, no.
So when you have real food.
I do not. I never, breakfast was always like a pain. This is easy. I know what I'm going to have. I know how much I'll have. Done.
Can you eat popped rice for breakfast, as in Rice Krispies?
No. Rice. And it's got to be brown.
Oh, no.
You can't have white and all these flavored rices. It's got to be the plain one. And then you can add some tomato and cucumber. This is what I did for supper last night. I went to, I popped in at my family, and they were all having steak and stuff, and normally I would be desperate for that.
Mm. Oh, that's your favorite.
Yeah, I normally would have dipped in. I didn't. I took along my own rice, like one of those irritating people at a party who pitches up with their own Tupperwares. I came with my own rice and I cut up some tomato and I put a little bit of chili in there and a little bit of cucumber, some salt and pepper, and I was sorted.
Ben, in terms of like nutrients, is this healthy?
Sure.
Really?
Well, as Gareth said, it's a cleanse. It's a kind of thing he's doing. It's not going to be the way he eats forever and ever.
No.
You wouldn't you wouldn't recommend like an everyday, thing.
For right now, it's fine. You, on the other hand, Sia, Gareth, you should see what is in Sia's bag.
What do you mean?
Now, we've spoken about this before. Sia arrives
You got there?
With a nutritional game plan of Fruit Loops in a Tupperware.
It's cute because that's the cereal that my niece and nephew eat. And each time I see Sia eating it, I'm just like, oh my God, I could pick you up right now and kiss you on the cheek.
She's eating Fruit Loops.
Yes.
The ones with the toucan on the box?
Yes.
Is that what you're eating?
There's
my God.
Blue ones and pink ones and yellow ones.
It's like a toy box.
Yes.
Firstly, I'm pissed off that you still don't get the free toy when you buy them anymore. But, like, you can't help but, like, smile when you have a breakfast like that. And, hey, haven't we been having the conversation around how breakfast is so important? So, at least now I'm packing a good breakfast. I'm packing a breakfast.
A breakfast. Yeah. Not a good breakfast. Yeah.
And this works right now.
So, for lunch today, I've got – and it takes away that one decision. You know how we were saying the other day that one of the things Zuckerberg does, and I don't think he's by any means someone to
– I think
role
Jobs
model.
Pioneered it nicely. No.
Yeah. You just, he doesn't, he wears the same gray t-shirt and baggy mom jeans that he wears every day. So this has taken one irritating decision out of my day. And you know, I'm not a big eater and I've never really cared about food.
Mm-hmm. Well,
not like most people do.
No, you've always said if they could give you a pill with all the nutritional value packed into it, you would pop a pill every day.
Hell yeah.
I think we face far too much emphasis on food. This is why we're obese.
You look at how our ancestors used to live, and I'm talking about 100,000 or more years ago. They would scrounge around in bushes, find a grub or a beetle or a worm. They'd shove in as many as they could. They'd grab huge quantities of fruit off a tree and like gorge themselves. But they wouldn't be so complicated about food. Whatever was around, they would eat.
Yeah.
Well, they'd spend the rest of the time and not be eaten by tigers.
Correct. Mm. So they were exercising and they were eating what was available. Now you walk into a supermarket and they've got 9,000 flavors of yogurt and 2,200 different kinds of sauce that you could put on every food stuff you have. Mm. I mean, eventually you just look around and you're like, it's too much.
Mm. We are probably the most failed species by evolving. It's kind of strange. Like we took ourselves out of nature. We elevated ourselves to a point where we can literally get someone to deliver us food. Like, think how weird that is. Going back to your primal speak there. Someone can bring you melted cheese. Someone can bring you food that's going to make you fat.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
People do it every
day. You don't even
day.
Have to leave your sofa.
Sit there.
You can sit there like a big, monstrous waste of space. And you could be switching between Star Trek and repeats of Will and Grace.
Yeah.
And
or just watch other people eat food.
And people thing. Will just bring you food. They will bring you food. Yeah. You don't even have to get up.
This is bad, but it all just sounds like a good time to me. I'm like, yes, yeah, I do want someone to like, give me melted,
you
know, like,
cheese. Wherever you go in nature or in the wild, you don't go, oh, look at that one. That's a bit fat. No, yeah. Because they all...
That one's a bit fat.
Look how the rest of them are laughing at. There are no fat animals out there.
But
no.
You see, also, in the world that we live in, Sia, like, it's okay for you to say the stuff that you say because, I mean, look, you don't have a weight problem.
Weight problem? He can't put on weight. I've seen what he eats. It's revolting, and he doesn't put on a single gram.
Yeah, but he's not emaciated.
It's very unfair.
Okay, I hear what you're saying.
Yeah.
But, you know what? If you're really wanting to order melted cheese and you're not bothering anyone, then go ahead and slouch around.
Oh, yeah.
In your case with your detox, have you been around people who are drinking?
Yes.
And do you
and
feel...
no desire?
No, not yet. I want to see how long I can go without the devil's drink.
All right. Absinthe.
anything with alcohol in it. Look, it's a break. I haven't cut it off out of my life. It's just a break, and I want to see how long I will last.
All right.
If it's a month, if it's 2 months.
It's a little test of yourself.
Yeah.
Right. It's like on Monday, I took a picture of the scale. I have this bathroom scale that tells you your body mass index and your amount of water and all that kind of crap.
Mm-hmm.
So I took a picture of that with all the results, and then I'm going to compare it on Friday. And I'll see whether I've made any progress. And if it worked, I might do it another week. We'll see. And then I'll stop and go back to eating normally. But I think it's a fun little detox experiment. And I've always wanted to, because I don't subscribe to any kind of religious fasting, but I've always wanted to just try it out and see whether it's good for my body or not. And they say it does have huge advantages.
Have you become more regular?
The same. Same amount of shitting.
Bowel movements.
Yes.
Thank you.
Sorry, that's right. Good morning, guys. Just want to say I love the fact that there is a separate section on the app for Garrett's guests. Thanks for keeping me entertained, keeping awesome. Well, there we go. That's Raphael in Cape Town. No problem, dude. Absolute pleasure.
Ooh, I like that name.
Can someone in Nikolaus Bauer's vicinity give him a clap and tell him to fuck right off with his Gupta tactics? I think that came up yesterday in the show that he was spreading around fake news, and this is particularly rough when it happens from a journalist. You guys like shows about serial killers, right? Says Rusty. Watch this new Netflix series called Mindhunters. It's set in 1977 USA. It follows two brilliant detectives that are starting to understand the mentality of serial killers. They drive around the US talking to various serial killers in jail. It's super eerie and weird. Best of all, each episode is factual and not boring. It's got a 9.1 IMDb rating.
Wow.
That's Rusty, so we must check that one out.
You know shit gets real when you're watching something, then it says, based on a true story.
Oh, yeah. Oh. I like that.
Although some of the shows should really use the word loosely before based.
Yeah.
So it's called Mind Hunters.
Mind Hunters.
Okay.
What do I use to download Bitcoin, says somebody? Well, I'm using this Luno.
Yeah, that's what I'm on too.
That's the app that I've got. Gareth, what are you having for lunch? Rice. Rice, and it's got quinoa in it.
I see quinoa. That's the win.
Okay. I can't understand that because it's got a video attached. Carl says, apparently this is why so many kids have so many allergies, and especially the more privileged kids. Their parents keep them away from gluten and nuts and all that stuff to protect them, and therefore the kids build up no immunity. Go to a poorer school and those kids have no allergies. Fancy, rich schools. Every kid has a special diet for their whiny little bitch kid.
Yeah, but also having a food allergy is kind of like a badge of honor as well. I mean, I reckon a lot of people are just completely bullshitting.
They want to be special.
I have this allergy and I have that allergy.
It's like those people who order the special meal, you know? You get the one who's, I need a halal, I need it kosher, I need it special, because I need this. I don't put things in my body like you peasants do.
But it is about being special. I know when I was a kid, being special meant that you did judo or you could play a violin or you spoke French or something.
Yeah,
so now it's like way easier to just say, I don't eat gluten.
Yeah, now you're the same level as everybody else in the class. You're not very interesting. You're not particularly athletic. You don't necessarily have a talent. You're not funny. Nobody wants to talk to you, but you have a gluten allergy, so that makes you important. And your parents feed that crap because they literally and figuratively feed that crap. They go, shame, little Johnny, he needs something that he can attach himself to. He needs some sort of identity. Let's give him a gluten problem.
And also the weight loss industry, because they're worth billions, they also push agendas. You know, they kind of set the trend.
Right.
And then that's what they push. And then that's what we're all supposed to be avoiding that season or whatever.
Right.
Like, they're also pushing their own agendas. Stay away from this. It's bad for your body. Da 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 da.
Well, let's see how it goes. I'll report back to you after a week, and we'll see if it's really made any difference. Because a lot of this stuff really doesn't. In this case, I've seen some results.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe it's also just because I'm exercising, and I'm not eating as much. It could just be that. Who knows? I'm not a scientist.
Or you're
more
conscious of what you eat.
If you did this under laboratory conditions... And Mubs knows what that means. You need to have a control. You need to make sure there's no other food. Then you would end up with a perfect result. But you can't do that with nutrition because people have to eat different things. All right, let's get stuck into the five things that you need to know this morning. It's brought to you by Colcacchio's Pizzeria. You can find Colcacchio's in every great city in South Africa. They've spread far and wide. And they've become very successful in their 25 years because they know a whole lot about how to make perfect pizzas and pastas, and they can help you with the best salads too. So, let's start with some news about Batabile Dlamini. I don't know if you know, but yesterday the DA were heckling her in Parliament and she responded, they are full of Black Monday. So Steenhuisen from the DA responded, well, you're full of Black Label. Fantastic.
I love that guy. He's my favorite guy in all of Parliament.
Joint meeting of Parliament Standing Committee on Public Accounts heard on Tuesday the Treasury had been brought in to review the fast collapsing deal between SASSA and the South African Post Office. The two government entities were given until Wednesday to come back to Parliament to show evidence that a common sense deal could be reached for them to assist with the social grant scheme. And I'm going to try and find a clip of this because when Batabile Dlamini did go to Parliament and she did actually sit there, which she doesn't really normally do, she couldn't be bothered most of the time, she was so bad. This woman was so incapable of stringing a decent sentence together that there were more airs in between every second word. And this is not me being nasty. You can listen to the recording yourself. It's almost like her brain is buffering. Terrible. Terrible, terrible, terrible. Very bad stuff. Doesn't help anyone to have a minister like that, particularly those who could do with a decent minister. You know who I'm talking about. I'm talking about the poor, the people of this country who could really do with one or two ups instead of constant downs. Let's see what else I got here for you. Kevin Spacey, there have been more men who've come forward with sexual assault accusations.
Oh.
Yeah, the London Old Vic Theatre has set up a confidential hotline. You know, he worked there for a while. So that actors could come forward anonymously if they've been sexually harassed by Spacey. Actor and filmmaker Tony Montana shared the story of his encounter. Apparently, Spacey walked up to him at the bar and grabbed his crotch forcefully. Grabbed the whole package, according to this guy. How's that?
Mm.
Yes, and there are more people starting to say, it seems the only requirement was to be a male under the age of 30 for Mr. Spacey to feel free to touch us. How do you like them apples? And living in space has drastic and negative effects on the brain. Yeah, if you're thinking of going into space anytime soon, I'm talking to you, Elon Musk. The question that immediately follows is, what will zero G do to our bodies? After all, our frames and body functions have evolved for this gravity on Earth, not the weightlessness of space. And so, astronauts who have been up in space have been doing a lot of research around this. We know that long-duration spaceflight takes a huge toll on the body. And apparently one common side effect is a degradation of vision. Even on a short 2-week shuttle flight, some astronauts experience their visual acuity diminishing, and it lasts beyond the duration of the space flight. So that's not good news. If you're thinking of going into space, don't. And then I see that members of the ANC in Ekurhuleni have accused chairperson Mzwandile Masina of trying to frustrate the process in a bid to secure Nkosasana Dlamini Zuma's nomination for party president. So it's always nice to see that the ANC puts the succession debate ahead of everything else, even in this case, things that we really should be paying attention to and things that make a huge difference in the world, like, for example, the fact that this chairperson's daughter killed herself because of sexual molestation. Something worth talking about, I think. And if you're going to call yourself some kind of human rights entity, if you're going to call yourself a feminist, if you're going to call yourself someone who stands up for the weaker people in society, then you can't stand up for this man. Full stop. That's all there is to it. Hillary Clinton has defended her campaign funding for research in a Steele dossier. That's right. She defended her campaign lawyer's decision to pay for research that showed up in a salacious dossier about Donald Trump's ties to Russia. In an interview on The Daily Show with Trevor Noah, she also dismissed any parallels between her campaign's use of opposition information to benefit Trump. I think most people understand that, she said in a clip of the interview, which was to air later on Wednesday night. It was research that stated that a Republican donor, when Trump got the nomination for president, was giving false information. It could have been provided by the Russians. All of this has really kind of bit Hillary Clinton in the backside, because she was the one who kept going on about Russia, Russia, Russia. Turns out she's been using that research in her campaign. So who do you believe?
None of them. Not one of them are to be believed.
And horrible news this. Apparently no work, no pay for striking SABC staff. The strike action at the SABC will go ahead while negotiations continue between SABC Management, Communications Workers Union, and the Broadcasting Electronic Media and Allied Workers Union. But I'm surprised that the SABC is still there. So consider yourselves lucky you even have a place to go to work every day.
Yeah, I mean, SABC in all ways is going down. I mean, they're not even that committed to harassing me about TV licenses anymore. I get like maybe 2 SMSs a week.
And you used to get one every day.
There used to be phone calls too. Oh. It's like they're so half-hearted about everything.
Those are the 5 things you need to know today. Brought to you by Kolkakia's Pizzeria. Here's Ben with the latest in the sport. So, Ben, first of all, how did planking for player go yesterday?
Oh, massive success, Gareth. People the world over were wishing the great man happy birthday with the 82 seconds of planking. Donald Trump tweeted him. Well, everyone tweeted him, because you know, Gary's just one of those universal phenomena that everyone just appreciates and loves.
Gary's got a serious friendship with Donald. He could go and visit the White House tomorrow.
Well, he could, because of his greatness. I wouldn't say he's got a serious friendship with him, but I think Donald obviously looks up to him, like most people do.
Yes.
And, well, what's Gary to do on top of that? He can't choose who likes him.
Yeah, of course.
But, Gareth, we need to get into the story. I was a little bit too mad yesterday to bring it up, so I've simmered down a bit. We need to talk about Wade Finney-Cook's injury.
Yeah. Stupid, stupid injury, right?
Okay, there's a few lessons in life. Don't become a communist, don't eat more than you really need in life, and don't play touch rugby. These are 3 things that kind of, you do
especially
those.
Especially if you're a star athlete.
You do those, you're going to be all right. You're going to be all right. Wayde van Niekerk is the biggest name in athletics because he runs on a track. He knows exactly what to do on a track, and he's very good on a track.
The rest of the time, he should be in that goddamned oxygen chamber that you sit in.
Exactly.
He should not go out in public, and he should not do anything that could endanger his legs.
Well, let's not kill the story completely. He still has to have a life.
Not even go out in public.
But his life is track-based. His key word here is track. So what the bloody hell is he doing running around on a rugby field? Oh, it's just so stupid. The guy is the greatest name in athletics right now. He has endorsements coming out of every orifice. The world is at his amazing feet. But he decides to go and play a useless game of touch tag rugby, whatever the crap that is, before the All Blacks played the Springboks last month. Now, if you know anything about athletics or sports, and I know I'm going on a limb here, but when you are tuned to train and run and perform in a certain discipline, you can't just go into something else and think that everything's going to be okay. He runs in a straight line, so his muscles, everything fired towards a certain purpose. Here he is running in all directions on a softer surface, different kind of footwear, different kind of everything. Well, surprise, surprise, he tears his ACL and meniscus of his knee. Now, if this happens to a rugby player, like, condolences are sent out there, because sometimes you don't come back from injury like this. This is hectic. If you don't know anything about it, just Google ACL and meniscus. You'll do some reading which will horrify you. So, because he is who he is, he's going to get the best possible treatment to recover from this. But this is just it. Like, once you get injured like that, you lose a percentage of your brilliance. So, Wade on the track is all about seconds and split seconds. You can't afford to have any sort of, like, holdback.
Are you saying that this could be a major challenge to his future athletic career?
Completely, Gareth. All for a game of bloody tag touch rugby.
Stupid.
So he'll be out until April at least, people were thinking
God.
At least April.
Oh.
And also, this is maybe a more selfish thing, but we have very little to cheer about in this country sports-wise. I don't know, guys, if you guys have noticed, but this guy is one of the absolute superstars. He's the one guy we look at and go, oh, it's cool, Wade's got this. But now he's on his ass for about 6 months because he played stupid touch tag whatever the hell rugby. For what? For what? For what again?
I'm very sad about this.
Now, I know people are saying, yeah, but he's going to have his own life. He can do whatever he wants. Sure. But his life is to be a champion track runner. It's not to be some guy who's going to have a few beers with the boys after a stupid game of touch rugby. And it's really, really sad.
Is there any explanation for why he did this?
Well, you got invited. He thought it would be a good idea. He did it. Fair enough. But it's just stupid. And who is managing these decisions? Rory McIlroy, top of his game. He just won the Open Championship. He was the best golfer in the world. He played a stupid game of five-a-side football with his mates. He turned his ankle. He was out for about 4 or 5 months. And since then, how many majors has he won? Zero. How much? Where's he gone golf? Backwards. Like, when you're good at a certain sport, you've got to understand this is kind of your life. Maybe be a bit more serious about it. And, like, sure. I don't want to chastise him overly, but it's just so frustrating when people make such dumb decisions like this. And this injury is hectic.
Jesus.
So he'll probably come back because he is who he is. He's an absolute superstar. Whether he'll ever be able to improve from here, well, I'm going to say it's kind of doubtful. He may still be the best in the world again, but he'll never contest his World Cup, his world record time in the 400, I believe. And the thing is, he wanted to kind of go into the shorter disciplines. He was scheduled to run the 100 and 200 meters in the Gold Coast meet in Australia. Well, he's definitely out of that because of injury, but whether he can make an impression now as a tournament runner, which is where he wanted to go,
oh no.
It makes me sad. It makes me sad, and it makes me kind of angry. Maybe it's just selfish, but it's just, again, knowing how amazing this guy is, why would you ever want to jeopardize that? It's just amazing, Gareth, how people can make such silly decisions.
Look at how angry Ben is.
Mm. Right, well, let's move on past that story. It makes me so angry. There was Champions League football last night, and Shakhtar Donetsk, well, 3-1 over Feyenoord. Same result for Porto over Leipzig, and Liverpool, they also scored 3 against Maribor. They were at home this time round, and a good result for Jurgen Klopp and his team. Man City, they just continue to score so many goals. Napoli are the Italian side, also unbeaten domestically, as are Man City, and it was going to be a good match, and it started out bloody well too. And, well, it was really neck and neck stuff. And, well, Napoli squandered a few chances to really drive home the advantage. And in the end, well, Man City, they just pulled away. Like every other good team, they just pull away when it matters most. Aguero scored a goal in the 69th minute to go 3-2 up. That means he is the greatest scorer of goals in Man City's history. Sterling scored another one deep in injury time. So 4-2, Man City win that one. Spurs, this was the result of the night, really was, at Wembley against Real Madrid. Spurs beat Real Madrid 3-1. 3-1. What an incredible result there. Harry Kane came back, and the team with Dele Alli, also back from a suspension. 3-1, that is just so huge for this team, who goes from strength to strength. Now, unlike Arsenal, who have stagnated and gone backwards, Spurs have taken the opportunities, and they look like a side who really now can become a big side. Their whole problem over the years was they could never be good enough to make it into the Champions League. That's why they lost a star like Gareth Bale. And look at them now. They're beating Real Madrid. This, of course, after they drew with Real Madrid away in Spain. They're now hammered at home 3-1. Huge result there. Sevilla beat Sparta Moscow 2-1. And Borussia Dortmund drew with Apul and the Besiktas. All they drew with Monaco 1-1. Monaco still can't get a win. Not very good. Locally in the PSL, that's obviously still going on. And exciting stuff really is, because Baroka, they're still right up there. They had a disappointing draw with AmaZulu last night. Cape Town City, they're back to winning ways. They beat Free State Stars. Platinum Stars beating Ajax. And Wits, well, again, the season is not going well for them whatsoever. Chip United, they were just so, like, I don't know, nonchalant about beating them 2-0 in the end. Just too easy. Just far too easy. And then the big game for the night was Sundowns versus Pirates. Now, both of these teams haven't been too flash of late. Pirates, more concerningly, are just not getting the wins that people expect them to get. But last night at the Orlando Stadium, 3-1. Fantastic win there for Sundowns. So they get back to winning ways. And they look like a bit more like Sundowns of old, even though Sandy Lands in the Pirates goal, well, at times it was just comical how he was letting the ball in the goal. Started off in the first minute where Klompo Kukana's deflected goal literally went by him, and it's like he wasn't expecting it. It's pretty funny if you see it on the replay. But that's your local PSL action. Stephen Finn is back in the mix for English cricket, so we all know that Ben Stokes and his night brawling has meant that there's been a lot of question marks around the Ashes squad. They are in Australia now, so this is the start of the biggest cricket match of the year. Biggest cricket occasion of the year. So Finn, who's very much up and down on his day, the guy is unplayable. He's a big, lanky, fast bowler. But like most English fast bowlers, they just kind of blow hot and cold. I mean, no one's ever been as bad as Stephen Harmison, but these guys are pretty similar. And they'll need everything to work if they've got any chance of beating Australia. But they won't. That's not me having a dig. That's just pretty much what's going to happen. Big weekend for rugby. If you like your internationals, the All Blacks are playing a very much experimental team against the Barbarians. That's the big one. 5 o'clock Saturday, they'll be at Twickenham in London. And then Japan, earlier in the day, will take on Australia in Yokohama at 7:40. And then the weekend after that, where all the big teams are at it. So every single big international team will be going toe-to-toe in the end-of-season tour. It is the Turkish Airlines Open for the European Tour this weekend, which is part of the final series as we get closer and closer to the Nedbank Golf Challenge, which is the biggest tournament in Africa. More sport tomorrow.
Thank you very much, Ben. There we go. That's a look at sport. It is 14 minutes to 7. Said by Sia. This is where we get our daily dose of inspiration, our daily dose of positivity, stuff you might need to power you through your day. And God alone knows there's enough bad news out there, so thank goodness you get a little bit of this.
Absolutely. So a few days ago, I actually stumbled on this Instagram account called grandma_Aileen. And I was already raising my eyebrow, like, what is going on with this? I clicked onto it and it was this old woman, and her bio is on Instagram says keeping it 100. I was like, grandma, don't you need to sit down and like start, you know, I don't know, sewing some scarves together or something? So I started to actually Google who this grandma Aileen is and what she's about. And actually, I found a very interesting and heartwarming story. So often old people are almost, you know, disregarded in society after a while, and they just keep to themselves and whatnot. But this grandma has actually done something so cool for people who live in New York City. So she's actually 100 years old now.
What?
Shucks.
She's doing something? I mean, 100 years old, you should really be just grateful that you're alive and quietly just spend, like Wade Fanica. You should be lying in a still place watching Rick and Morty.
So do you know what she's realized? She's 100 years old. She has years of experience and she's gone through so much and she can actually, you know, help people out with their problems.
Yeah.
So Grandma Aileen has now set up a makeshift therapy booth in New York City's Upper West Side where people are more than welcome to now stop by and talk to her over Skype and ask her questions.
I like that. I mean, this makes sense.
My goodness. So in the past 3 months, New Yorkers have now been able to unload about everything to Grandma Aileen, from dieting to dating. And listen, this spunky senior citizen is the first to, you know, chime up and give them some advice.
Well, so, you see, when you've lived that long, you must know stuff.
Oh, absolutely. She lives in Washington State, and thanks to her grandson, Mike Matthews, who actually studies in New York City, she was able to set this whole entire mini project up. She says, you know, you can be anything you want, so don't complain about anything. You just have to do something about it. So hundreds of people have been stopping by in the middle of their day, and, you know, she just says, for me, it was a thrill. And, you know, now she actually turns out that, you know, she's wonderful at it, and she's absolutely enjoying it. She says, New Yorkers love talking about themselves, you know, but nothing seems strange to her anymore because people now stop by. You know, she says one man, he loved this girl, but she never responded. And she said this to him, let's just be friends. But he's thinking that this is actually going to be a relationship. So Grandma Aileen actually gave it to him straight. She says, I told him, she's telling you what she means. See, she's like 100 years old. She's been around the block. She knows this. One boy said that he was already planning his next visit to Grandma Aileen. You know, he says that she's so wise and she really does not look 100. She looks like she's in her early to late 80s. So Grandma Aileen, she absolutely loves this. You know, she spent her earlier years as a housewife and a mother as well. And now she's strictly on Facebook Live. So you can also follow her. She's actually raked in hundreds of followers on her Instagram account just based on this. It's grandma_Aileen. And she says, cool. As we get older, we don't particularly get wiser. We just have more experience. And so if we can be helpful, then that's a good thing. So I like that. Grandma Aileen, she'll be turning 101 years old this coming Jan. And she also says that her secret to longevity is living a good, clean life.
I love that.
So I like that. Keeping it 100.
That's very cool.
Grandma Aileen is my new role model.
Very, very nice.
That's said by Sia this morning.
Good for her. All right. A couple of things message-wise that have come into the show. So we've got... By Cliff Central, too much sport for me. I have only 30 minutes to listen. No Anthea, just deleted the app. Oh, well, bye-bye. Princess Vitara has a new song called I Want to Bang Donald Trump. Oh, here it is. Do you want to hear it? Do you want to hear how that goes? All right, that's beautiful. Another wonderful hit from Princess Vitara, who introduced us to her music with her number one smash hit, Nigerian Pussy.
Yeah.
Very good.
Okay.
Listening to cliffcentral.com, what happened with Dustin Hoffman? I don't know.
Dustin Hoffman also had some sexual allegations.
Oh, really?
Yeah. He was accused of...
Oh, my God. You know, we're going to end up with no more actors.
He was accused of like touching a 17-year-old.
Oh, but no.
It was also back in the day.
1985. A 17-year-old intern.
What did he do? What's he supposed to have done?
But like in that case, the young lady says that he was very open about things. Like he would openly grab her ass, would talk to her about sex. So,
yeah, you know, again, like this is where, of course, it's completely unacceptable behavior, but you cannot, unless you are a complete idiot, you cannot look at what happened in the past and imagine that the rules of modern society applied then. Women in the 1970s were not treated like women are treated now. And of course that's egregious and revolting, but that's the way it was. You can't pretend it should have been different because it wasn't and you weren't there. And get outraged about it now is pointless. It's a waste of your energy. This is how people used to behave. It's not acceptable. If Dustin Hoffman was doing it now, we'd all be saying, arrest him.
Yeah.
But he did it then. And then there were some countries that didn't even have women who could vote. There are still countries in the world where women can't vote. There are still countries in the world where women can't drive. There are still countries in the world where, you know, children are sold as sex slaves. And it's perfectly okay. So let's focus on the areas of the world that we can improve now. Because to go back in history, I just find this whole, like, you know, crusading against famous people is just such low-hanging fruit. Because famous people are easy to get. There are enough people who have stories about them. By no means am I saying that they should be treated differently to the rest of us. They should be treated just the same as the rest of us, which means we should go after normal people as well. So we get Harvey Weinstein.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. It's right that Harvey Weinstein, who was this powerful man in movies and was abusing his power, it's great that we bring him in and that he pays for his crimes against all these women. And if he is guilty of rape, then that's especially revolting.
Yeah, but this is about exposing behaviors that are wrong. I mean, for the longest time, there have been mutterings and murmurs about child rings.
Yeah, pedophile rings.
You know, just the kind of things that happen within that Hollywood circle. And people are just exposing it now. For the first time, they're openly talking about it. But they've known for decades that that is how that world operates. So that is why, I mean, if you're sitting there and you hear 10 women coming forward and talking about what happened to them, you're also going to think, oh, so now it's okay to talk.
Yeah,
because we're now exposing this kind of behavior. Right. So that's what it's about.
For sure. I'm particularly worried, though, that there are things going on right now that we could be doing something about. We could be preventing this sort of behavior now.
Isn't speaking out a form of bringing awareness to
them? No. Unless these people are made to account for their actions, then speaking about it does fuck all.
But don't
you speak about it today, and then tomorrow they've gotten away with it. So what?
But I mean, we're talking about preventing.
I don't know that there's anyone except Roman Polanski that has got away with it. I think all these guys have had to. Look at Harvey Weinstein. Finished now.
A fall from
grace. He can't go back into his old life. His life is finished, and rightly so.
Or it will never be.
There's
what
a consequence.
It is.
I don't think his life is finished.
It won't be what it was.
No, I mean, he's made a ton of money. Now he'll just, like, disappear into a world of comfort and privacy. Maybe not so much in the glaring public eye,
but his life
is by no means finished,
okay.
I don't think.
So if I took away what you have now, you could also disappear into a life of obscurity. But compared to where you are now, his life's finished now. Think about where he was. This is the guy who used to make it. He was the Oscar man. He made all these brilliant movies. He elevated people who were nobodies to something. Now he's nobody. No one wants anything to do with him. I heard that his wife's business, she's even being punished.
Yes.
His wife's dress business is going to have to shut down.
Do you know what they used to do? Actually, I find this kind of cute. Harvey would produce this major, major movie, and let's just say Halle Berry is starring in it, and she goes on these press tours. The wife would have access to now dressing Halle Berry, and so that's how she was boosted. So now she doesn't have the database, Harvey's database.
Well, I feel sorry for her because she was married to this guy, but then she married this guy.
She knew, again,
it's like Bill Cosby's wife. She knew, right?
Yeah. And look at Bill Cosby. He's a good example too. Bill Cosby cannot just go out there and keep doing stand-up comedy. In other words, his life, as he knew it, as we know it, is finished. So that's a consequence. I mean, what do you want? Do you want the guy to be dragged down the street behind wild horses?
Well, obviously.
No. What I'm saying is, I mean, Sia, I was just answering Sia's question to say, talking about things raising awareness about things is completely pointless.
But by outing these guys, you do.
Yeah.
There's a direct consequence immediately. Kevin Spacey is going to find it very hard to do work in Hollywood ever again. Finished.
I don't think it's pointless. Will it completely?
And it's not like he's got a plumbing certificate and he can go around fixing geezers.
Yeah, but I mean, it's not like he's had a terrible life. So even if he never works another day in his life, that's
compared to what?
He's going to be comfortable.
But compared to what?
No, I'm just saying, it's not like his life is, it's going to be like, a shitty life. Mm. All it means is that, oh, well, you've stopped working now, so just go home and sit in your mansion.
But you're talking about money. You're not talking about all the other aspects of his life. Where is he going to? What can he do? Everywhere he goes out, he's going to be hated and loathed.
Yeah, but I'm with Babs in this.
For a while. And then people forget.
They don't
forget. And money.
People forget.
You can create your own reality when you're super rich.
No one would let their kids around Michael Jackson.
Trust me,
he wasn't even guilty of anything.
There were still kids
that
were led to Michael Jackson.
Michael Jackson, yes, I think it was yesterday or the day before, was named as the number one dead celebrity who's still making more money than anybody else after 5 years.
Don't you think it would be horrible to be Kevin Spacey right now?
I don't think it would be the worst thing in the world.
It would still be better than most average.
It would still be better than being the average person. I'm sorry.
I was about to say, from our perspective right now, I think we would still kind of want that.
Guys,
but from
insane. I would rather be me than Kevin Spacey any day of the week.
Because everything is magnified. Where you are on the fall from grace.
I would rather be me with even less than I have than Kevin Spacey right now. His reputation, his life, his marriage, his friendships, his career, every single aspect of it is dashed against the rocks. It doesn't matter if he's got $70 million invested. He's not going to live a nice life. He's 40-something, right? 50-something.
Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Let's say 55. The guy has got another 40 years to live. Mm-hmm. He's going to be living in the shadows. I'm not saying he doesn't deserve it. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying that this isn't meant to happen.
58.
But my God, I mean, he was flying high.
You see, I hear both of the points here, but yeah, it really, these people do not live the shittiest of lives, even after a fall from grace. You know, look at the Michael Jackson example. He moved over to the Middle East.
What?
He did?
Yeah, after...
Remember, he moved to Dubai for a while.
Exactly. After the child molestation allegations, he sold Neverland, he moved to the East, and he was jetting all over the world.
Yeah.
Because you still can. And even what I threw out a few weeks ago with the Harvey Weinstein thing, I said he's going to be in an Italian villa in 2.3 seconds.
But you guys are focusing on the kind of life that he has.
But the money gives
and
means.
Comparing it to yours. Compare it to his. He's finished. Don't compare it to yours. Otherwise, why aren't you comparing your life to the guy who lives in the shack in the squatter camp, and saying, "Oh my God, his life is terrible." You can't. It's compared to what? You know, compare Harvey Weinstein to you. Even now, you may say he has material comforts, but you're not walking around with every woman who sees you suddenly going onto the other side of the street because she doesn't even want to be in the same vicinity as you because you're a pervert. You know what I mean? That's a consequence. That's way more. If he goes to jail, he's got a better chance, because when we forget about him, he's got a better chance of being rehabilitated. If he goes to jail, he will disappear and we will forget about him for a while. And then when he comes out, look at Oscar, who's talking about him right now.
But because people forget. That's what we were saying.
That's right.
People move on and they forget.
But if you see Harvey Weinstein, if he comes past you in the shop, in the aisle, with his trolley, you're going to go, "Ugh, there's Harvey Weinstein." You're not going to go, "There's the guy who used to get everybody Oscars." You're going to go, "There's that sex pervert, that woman abuser."
Does that matter to him?
Of course. Are you kidding? All this guy cared about was his reputation. It's all he had.
No, I think all he cared about was getting massages. But you know, it'd be really funny because, like, the Oscars, again, struggling for relevance because they had that Oscars so white thing was killing them. If they cared about this whole thing, you know, in the beginning when they celebrate all those who have passed, and there's like that montage, and like the soft piano.
Yeah, they
should be all about those that have been implicated in sex crimes and addictions.
That's the new theme for 2018.
But it would be so funny if the Oscars actually took that on the chin and said, "Tonight we're going to identify all of those who have used their position for sexual
and they did predation." A reel,
And there's a little montage and a soft piano.
Well, I don't know if you read any more about this Harvey thing. There's one thing about it that is just boggling my mind, and I need someone to explain this to me. You ready to try?
Sure. Okay.
So Harvey would strip down and show these girls his naked body. He'd either be naked for a massage or he'd make them watch him shower or get in the bath. But it was always about him being naked. Now, this is bizarre. Like, I'm very self-conscious about the way that I look. And Harvey Weinstein is a hell of a lot fatter and uglier than me. how did he think this was going to turn out well for him? Did he think the woman would be more attracted to him if they saw his naked body?
No, but again, it goes back to a kind of fetish. You, like in school, you get those little kids who are always flashing their little wieners around. Mm. You get those guys who flash their genitals just because they want to offend or shock people. Mm. Some people, it's just all the expression of being a creep that you are.
You, if, okay, if I'm Harvey Weinstein, I want the women to get naked. I want to look at them. I don't want them to see me.
Gareth, it's all back to power.
What's that all about?
It's all back to power. If you feel you've got power over someone, it's like, huh, I'm gonna flash my junk at you.
Ugh. And you're going to like it.
Because I'm so powerful.
That hideous body.
Mm. Well, in his mind.
Wow. Sidebar, you know, I don't think you guys giving yourselves enough credit. You actually give some sort of analysis and psychology to things. I really didn't think of it that way. But it is a power thing.
Yeah, of course it's a power thing.
Of like, you're going to stay here, you're going to touch me, you're going to please me because
well, you think all that,
I'm so big and great.
All those strange fetishes, like with the whips and the chains, the dominatrix stuff, it's all power. It's a real, like... pleasure,
it's
like
not
we know
about
it.
The pleasure. Yeah.
It's about the whole
or the pleasure
thing.
Comes yeah. from power.
That's it's about exercising control. Excuse me, in a situation.
But like a lot of like modern day internet porn is also a power thing. It's like degrading women or degrading something.
Hmm.
It's all evolved past that shit. Whatever happened to when a man loves a woman, Hesia?
Oh, Ben.
And when they love each other so much, they then make love.
You're preaching to the choir. You know, preaching to the choir here. Yeah.
This is CliffCentral.com.